Good morning. 37 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. My guest, Dr. Richard Land, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Dr. Land. How are you?
Good morning.
Obviously, terrorism on the top of everybody's mind this morning, and these latest attacks are going to bring new urgency to the debate over immigration and the resettling of Middle East refugees in our country. Let me ask you this. Do you believe it's actually possible to welcome refugees from places like Syria and Iraq while not increasing the risk of terror attacks, particularly by these so-called lone wolf terrorists?
Yes.
Short answer.
Well, first of all, you could do it by switching to first of all, you need to create safe zones in Syria, which we could do pretty easily, which would increase the ability of these people to stay in their own countries. Then you switch to giving primacy to Christian refugees, because they get persecuted and they get harmed in the refugee camps. Muslim refugees are not going to be harmed in resettlement camps in Syria, where they are the vast majority of the population in no-fly zones. Christians are being persecuted in those camps, and yet our country's taking very few of them. So, number one, you cut down on the number of refugees. Number two, you switch to America taking more Christian refugees, let Muslim countries take Muslim refugees. And then third, if you want to come to this country and you come from a country that's been a source of terrorism, then you give them a polygraph test.
Yeah,
you ask them, are you now or have you ever been a member of a radical Islamic group? Do you believe in using violence to advance jihad? If they can't pass the polygraph test, they can't come to the United States. I promise you that would eliminate terrorism coming in through refugees, because it would cut vastly down on the number of refugees. The majority of the refugees would be Christian refugees, and then they would additionally have to all pass a polygraph test.
And let me ask,
you know, this is not rocket science. I mean, to me, the point is these people are too brain dead because of political correctness, or too intimidated by political correctness to say what I've just said.
Now, do you think the current vetting process is adequate, or do you think that
No, I don't, because they are, you know, given the fact that ISIS has said they're going to use this refugee process to infiltrate terrorists into the country, anything short of a polygraph test is not sufficient, because they're going to lie.
I don't think the ACLU is going to take kindly to your suggestion.
Well, you know, the last time I cared what the ACLU thought, I was in high school. These are not American citizens, number one. Number two, coming to the United States is a privilege.
Yeah.
It's not a right.
Very well said. And certainly a great suggestion. Now, a big part of the immigration debate right now, not necessarily over the situation with the refugees, but it's over illegal immigrants from Mexico and other Central American countries. I'm wondering, I know you've looked at both political parties' platforms on this particular issue. If you could just kind of lay out for us the Republican view versus the Democrat view of illegal immigration.
Well, the Republican view is very restrictive. It says, first of all, you must secure the border. You must secure the border. And then you must get control of who's coming into your country. The only way to do that is to control the border and to control the workplace. You've got to secure the workplace, because as long as they can get jobs here, and they can't get jobs from in their own country that pay anywhere near as well, they'll find a way to come here. Even if you have a border wall, they'll find a way. There'll be fewer of them. They'll find a way to get here, unless you secure the workplace. And you're going to have to do that through, you know, an E-Verify system on steroids, and probably a tamper-proof identity card for non-citizens I would use a thumbprint. It's a little less of an invasion of privacy than a picture would be, and it's also harder to counterfeit. Somewhere about 16 weeks gestation in the womb, you get a fingerprint, and it never changes throughout your whole life. So you can't counterfeit it. You put it on there, and you can't counterfeit it, and it doesn't even have to be visible. The Democratic Party platform is very, very lenient. The Democratic Party platform basically it's not quite open borders, but it's pretty close. I think both parties' platforms are insufficient to deal with the problem. But the Republican Party platform is very conservative, and the Democratic Party platform is very liberal on this issue.
What about those that are already here, Dr. Land, and there's, 5-6 million? I don't even know what the total is. I don't think any of us really know.
Well, that's part of the problem. We don't know.
Right.
It's at least 11 million. It may be as high as 14 or 15 million. We just don't know. That's part of the problem. We don't know. And the Republican Party platform is pretty close to, these people have all got to go home and then reapply. And the Democratic Party platform is they want to give all of them citizenship. They want to give them a path to citizenship, not just permanent residence, but citizenship. It seems to me that both of those are how shall I put it?
Inadequate.
They are naive in the sense that neither one of them can completely work.
Mm.
The idea that we're going to send 14 million people that are here undocumented home seems to me to be far-fetched. First of all, a significant number of them have American citizen children. I don't think we're going to deport citizens, and I don't think we're going to separate parents from their children. It seems to me that we've got to find a way to, first of all, identify who's here. I think we need to have a grace period where we say you've got 6 months to come forward, to register, to tell us who you are, to agree to a background check so that we can make sure you haven't committed any crimes in this country or in your country of origin. If you have, you're out. You're gone. You're on a plane the next day. And then, so we know who's here. And then we start looking at ways in which we can. They need to pay a fine, they need to undergo the background check, they need to go on a probationary period where they, if they can get a an opportunity to stay here, but they have to be on probation. If they commit any crimes, if they get afoul of the law, they're gone, and I'd say maybe 15 years from now, if they've stayed here and they've kept their nose clean and they've worked hard and they've been productive members of society if they want to stay here, they've agreed to learn to read, write, and speak English and pass a test that they've done so. Then I would let them stay here as a permanent resident, not a citizen. The penalty for having come here in an undocumented status is that they would never be allowed to be citizens. If they want to be citizens, they have to go back to their country of origin and reapply legally.
Mm. And, of course, citizenship brings with it a bunch of different rights, including the right to vote. So that's a key argument.
Well,
we have
a real problem. And the problem is for the last 50 years, our country has not enforced the immigration policies. And since we haven't, it's a sin to break the law, but it's also a sin not to enforce the law, and then to go back and enforce it retroactively. So I think we've let these people come here, and we haven't done anything to stop them really, and so they have to pay a penalty. Otherwise, you subvert the rule of law, and the penalty, and I think it's a huge penalty, is that no matter how long they are here. Working hard and paying taxes, etc., they cannot become citizens of the United States unless they learn to read, write, and speak English, and they go back to their country of origin and they reapply.
Mm. Dr. Richard Land.
The penalty for having broken the law is they can never become citizens. Now, as an American citizen, I consider that to be a very heavy penalty. And what I have proposed is not amnesty. Amnesty is what Jimmy Carter gave the draft dodgers who dodged the draft in Vietnam. He let them come home, no penalty, no fine, no anything, no surrender of citizenship. Now, I would have let them come back, but I would have required them to spend 2 years working at minimum wage at a veterans hospital, taking care of the guys that took their place.
You're talking a lot of common sense, Dr. Land. Dr. Richard Land, our guest, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. It's 49 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. We've been talking about terrorism, immigration, refugees. Dr. Land, from a Christian perspective, there are some liberal denominations that would believe in supporting so-called sanctuary cities and even even hiding illegal immigrants from federal authorities, which has happened. In your opinion, what is the proper Christian approach to handling illegal immigration?
Well, first of all, Romans 13 says that we are to obey the law for conscience sake because the government is the civil magistrate. And I don't believe that there ought to be sanctuary cities. I think that's, if I were the president of the United States, I would cut off all federal aid to every sanctuary city. You cannot have cities deciding which federal laws they're going to obey and which federal laws they're not going to obey. That's a recipe for anarchy. You know, we didn't let the state of Alabama defy federal court orders when it came to immigration, and we should not let cities like San Francisco defy federal authorities when it comes to the question of sanctuary cities. The federal government has the responsibility for enforcing immigration law, and the states and the cities must comply with it. Otherwise, you don't have a country. You have anarchy. You cannot have elected officials and governmental entities deciding which laws they're going to obey and which laws they're not going to obey. We have a very precious thing in this country called respect for the rule of law, and we must follow that. Now, if Christians don't like the immigration law, then they need to work to change it. But they cannot just decide, well, I'm just going to not obey the law. There is such a thing as civil disobedience, but that's by private citizens, not law enforcement authorities. Dr. King was not a judge when he went to the Birmingham jail. He was a citizen of Alabama who was denied the right to vote because he was an African-American. And he said, I'm in this jail because I refuse to obey an unjust law, and it's an unjust law because it doesn't coincide with the moral law of God. But he hadn't sworn an oath to uphold the law. If you're a city council, or you're a mayor, or you're a judge, and you've sworn an oath of office, an oath to uphold the law, if you can no longer do that, then you must resign. That's the civil disobedience that is used for an elected official, not just ignoring the law.
Well said. Let me ask you this. How can we as Christians show compassion for this refugee situation, for these individuals that are coming to this country, while at the same time balancing that with our security, with our safety?
Well, we have to show compassion to all the people to whom we are responsible. And if we're not just responsible to the refugees. We're responsible to American citizens, to innocent American citizens. Perhaps if we had enforced our immigration laws a little more strictly, that little boy wouldn't have been killed just attending the Boston Marathon and being blown up because we allowed these Islamic terrorists loose in our country. It's one thing for a Christian to say, well, I don't care about my personal safety. My compassion overrides my concern for my personal safety. But you don't have the right to make that decision for your neighbors without their consent. And that's what you're doing when you just say open borders, let them all in. We're not going to be overly concerned about whether some terrorists are coming in too. Well, you're putting your neighbors at risk. You're putting your fellow citizens at risk without their permission. That's not compassionate. So we have competing responsibilities for compassion.
Very well said. Dr. Lamb, we've got about 2 minutes left. Let me just ask you, you're going to be involved in a national event called The Gathering this coming Wednesday. Quickly, can you tell us what that's all about?
Well, it's a call to repentance and to prayer for repentance and revival and renewal and awakening in America. We believe that America is in such bad shape, morally and spiritually, that the only thing that will suffice for us is to have a great awakening in our country that leads to a tremendous reformation. And that must start with repentance. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So we're in humility and in anguish over our country, calling people to gather. That's why it's called The Gathering, to fall on our face before God and pray that God will send repentance to our nation and confession to our nation, and that God will bless America and God will make America a country that he can bless.
You are one of dozens of speakers I know that are going to be at this event, some major names in the evangelical church that will be there. And I understand people can see this gathering, the Solemn Assembly, online as well.
Yes, and if they go to our website, we have information about it. Go to ses.edu, and please pray with us, pray for repentance, pray for confession, pray for awakening. And, you know, it always starts with us. We're all sinners. And our country is in deep, deep trouble. And I think all Christians know that. And I believe that the only answer is a great revival and awakening, a great revival that ripens into an awakening and culmination of reformation.
So well said, and I totally agree with you. By the way, the Gathering website is thegathering2016.com if you want to learn more about this event coming Wednesday, the Solemn Assembly happening in Texas. Dr. Richard Land, thank you for your time today, sir.
Thank you, brother.